You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kasserman, joined by Scott Merkin, and I'm going to talk about a White Sox team that's still evaluating players here down the stretch and putting themselves in a decent position to potentially contend next year in 2015. And Merk, one guy we thought we might see down the stretch here, a guy who could be a really important piece for them next year, is Carlos Rodon, their number one draft pick from this past June. They decided, though, not to call him up and put him in the bullpen, keep him on a more traditional development path, I guess, which is, it's obviously rare for a guy to be drafted and called up in the same year. They've done it before with Chris Sale, but as Rick Hahn pointed out, that was a different situation in 2010. That was a team that finished a game out of the wild card. This White Sox team is not in that same competitive state, so I guess you can understand a little more patience in this scenario, can't you?
Yeah, I was a little surprised when I didn't see his name on the list, because it just seemed like with the path they had moved him on, with the challenges they had put in front of him, starting at Arizona Rookie League and then going to Winston-Salem and then going to Charlotte, that, the next logical step with the way he had pitched, and, you had talked to people who saw him and said he was, the best pitcher on the Charlotte team, even with just three starts down there. The next step was coming to the majors. But then you hear Rick talk, and you totally understand that, there was a deliberation that went into the process, but that, as you pointed out, there were a number of reasons, and you mentioned one of them, that, they aren't in contention. Another thing is Chris Sale came in a little quicker to the fold than Rodon did, so, that took a little bit of time off the development process there. And they just, right. Really the ultimate decision, the ultimate factor was what's best for him in terms of a starter. Now, Chris was a reliever for, parts of two seasons, one full season, right. And then one, the one, short period when he was drafted. Rodon's going to be a starter. This is going to be, 100%. And they didn't feel bringing him up in September, using him maybe as a reliever and then maybe a starter too down the stretch, was the most conducive process to having him ready to, have a shot at the rotation, Rick said, out of spring training in 2015. Now, again, just like there was never a flat-out no that he's not coming up in September during this whole time, Rick didn't guarantee that it would be foolish to guarantee that he's going to break camp with the team, considering he's, thrown 24 and two-thirds professional innings so far. But it does sound like he's got a real good chance to break with the team out of spring training next year, depending on what he does and, the off-season program they've given him and then how he performs in spring training. So it does make sense. I understand, as Rick said, fans wanted to see him up there. Rodon wanted to be up there. Obviously, as a competitor, you always want to keep moving. The White Sox, they wanted to see him up there, but in the end, everyone understood the decision, including Carlos, according to Rick.
Well, you can see both sides of it, getting that first exposure and those first nerves, I guess, out of the way. But at the end of the day, it would be two different scenarios anyway, coming up in September to pitch a couple, dare I say, meaningless innings out of the bullpen versus, next time he comes up or when he does come up next season in a starting role, in a starting role, really. So a difficult one, but I guess the White Sox kind of put themselves – the only reason this is a conversation is the White Sox have done in the past with Sale, but it's obviously a much different scenario.
It's also a conversation in the fact that, he's really come that fast. Rick made that point real clear that they had high hopes for. Remember, we're not talking about an 18-year-old raw kid out of high school. This is a kid who's pitched 3 years in a big-time conference in a big-time program. So he was advanced coming up already. And there were a lot of people who thought he was, going to be the number one pick in the draft, and he was the most major league ready of all the pitchers. So they had high expectations, and Rick said he's already exceeded those expectations. But in the absolute long run, it wasn't worth it to his process to bring him up for, like you said, a couple relief appearances, maybe a spot start you could play up, and, some Monday on a homestand or maybe the final four games that, is going to be celebrating Paul Konerko as well and say, hey, on Friday, come see our future. Carlos Rodon is getting a start. It just didn't make sense in the long run.
Yeah. And those numbers he's put up, definitely something for White Sox fans to dream on over the winter. One guy they did call up, and it was surprising, Michael Taylor, a guy who's a former top prospect. He was in that Roy Halladay trade between the Phillies and Blue Jays, and then was flipped for Brett Wallace. And
Taylor and Wallace really became footnotes in the long run, but Taylor's kind of rebuilt his value a little bit since coming over to White Sox this summer. Hit 306 with 6 home runs and 38 RBIs at Charlotte, so I guess they'll give him a look here, Merck, and see what they've got. I know you know, there's some sense of urgency there just with him as far as contractual control goes and seeing what they got, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, I think the other person who there was a surprise that wasn't included was Jared Mitchell, who was the team's 2009 top draft pick, had a bad season-ending, I guess there's never a good season-ending injury, but had a tough season-ending injury, tore a tendon in his left ankle during spring training, so missed the entire 2010 campaign, which I think people, if you look back, it really was a kind of a seminal turning point for him, because he was a kid at LSU who split time between football and baseball and really missed that. It wasn't like he missed 2 weeks or a month. He missed an entire year. Mm-hmm. And that kind of set him back, and he just hasn't been able to find a consistent offensive stroke until this last year, where he got sent down to Birmingham, and instead of kind of pouting where he was returning to Birmingham again, played great there, found the consistency in Charlotte. So people thought, you know, especially with him being a left-handed hitter and some, you know, a great athletic ability, he was going to get the chance. But they ended up going with Michael Taylor, partially because they have contractual control. I mean, Rick was very honest about this. They have contractual control over Mitchell. They were very happy with what Mitchell did, but they don't have that over Taylor, you know, that right. He could become a minor league free agent. So they wanted to see what they had, and it makes sense. You know, they have a month to really give him a chance to play. That's not saying he's going to play every single day, but he's going to certainly get a look. You know, he knows the White Sox hitting coach Todd Steverson from their days in Oakland together. And, you know, I'll tell you what, we were all amazed when we saw him yesterday. The kid's he's a big kid, that's for sure. He's got some mass to him there, and he's got a good batting eye up there, they talked about, and they want to see if they can get him back. You know, that seems to be the Sox forte, is these former top prospects who have, I don't want to say gone astray, because he hasn't done anything except just hasn't performed great at the big league level, but, you know, former prospects who were highly touted, you know, a guy like Gavin Floyd, who comes to mind, who they bring back in and kind of resurrect, and I think that's what they're trying to see they can do with Michael Taylor, and just, if nothing else, see where he fits, or does he fit, in the picture for 2015.
And that's what these last few weeks are all about for this team, is seeing who fits, who doesn't, and that's obviously part of the reason you know, they make the trades of Adam Don and Alejandro De Azua and Gordon Beckham, you know, that those moves freed up some cash, brought in a few arms into the system, but also freed up opportunity at the big league level. And you know, one guy who's going to get that opportunity now is Andy Wilkins. Had a huge season at Charlotte, potential International League MVP, with 30 home runs, 38 doubles, and 85 RBIs. What's the outlook for this guy, Mark, here down the stretch?
Well, it's interesting. He got his major league debut on Sunday. I was talking to him, the final Sunday against. Now I'm blanking on who they were playing. This is against the Tigers. There we go. He got his debut, and in his last at bat, he fouled the ball off his right foot, and he really thought when it first connected that he might have broke something, and he thought, well, this is great. I've waited for this opportunity, and now I'm done after one game. But luckily, it was just bruised, and he's fine. He had an ice pack on, and he actually played in the next game as a defensive replacement late in the game. But I think you know, he is a big favorite of the player development people just because of the way he went about his business, just the consistent approach. And, you know, he's never been one of those top 20 prospect guys for the team,
right,
even, let alone top 100 in baseball type of thing. And he's just kind of, I don't want to say he's beat the odds, but just kind of worked his own way up there. And he's a good power hitter, and he had a good spring training, and he's another one who kind of found a consistent approach at the plate, just something they could stick with right along that he said has made a difference this year. So he's definitely going to get a look. He will get, you know, the Adam Dunn at-bats and that kind of lefty-righty platoon with Konerko and – that was Konerko and Dunn. Now it'll be Konerko and Wilkins through the month of September. And you made a good point, Anthony, in that the calendar may say September 2014 right now. Well, it does say that. It may not say that, but it does say that. But it really is the 2015 season for the White Sox already. I mean – you know, they're not going to be in the playoffs. They're not going to make up 13 games in the standings in 24 games. So this is really the 2015 season already. And you got to give Rick Hahn a ton of credit because, you know, Adam Dunn, Alejandro De Azua, and Gordon Beckham, and Gordon was for a player to be named later, but none of those three, marginally maybe Gordon Beckham, but none of those three were in the plans for 2015. So to get them, to move them now, and also he gave all three a chance to play in the playoffs. They're probably all three going to be in there. And they get whatever prospects, and they really like the guy they got back for Dunn. But to give other guys, not only just to move them and save a couple million dollars this year, but to give other young guys chances to play now, really speeds up the process. He did it last year and had a great offseason, and we'll see what Rick can add on after this season. Where they, you know, they're going to win more than they did last year, and they're making strides. So, but they want to contend next year. It's not, they don't want to make it kind of an incremental thing. They think they can jump up and be in that AL Central race.
Yeah. Well, I know I am, and I'm sure you are happy to see Adam Dunn get his first shot at the playoffs.
Sure. Yep.
First legit shot. But what's sort of your final analysis there of the Dunn in on the South Side area for 4-year, $56 million contract? Obviously did not pan out on the field, but I know he also had an impact off the field.
Yeah, it is a weird thing, and you know from covering him, Anthony, great guy, and certainly doesn't hide from struggles, and did not handle 2011, which was, you know, arguably as bad a year as you're going to have as a player, with, you know, the class and dignity that I couldn't imagine anyone handling in terms of a workplace struggle like that, anything better than he did. And, you know, his last couple years, 2012 and 2013, his average was still down. His on-base percentage is still a little bit down below his average, but was better than, you know, it was pretty much what they thought, closer to what they thought it was going to be. But he admits, and, you know, he can't hide from it, it was not a good run for him in Chicago. That's on the field. Off the field, in terms of clubhouse influence, in terms of just the person that he was, fitting in, you know, just being part of the team, you know, A+. Great guy. You know, I remember when Scott Carroll got his first start and first victory, came up here to the White Sox, he asked Adam Dunn for a place to go to dinner. Adam gave him a place, and then in the process of giving the place, also took care of the whole bill for his entire family. And that's just the kind of thing that he did, and that's just one example. But just a good guy overall, and it was, you know, I was hoping that he would get a chance. I know you're not supposed to kind of, in our profession, objectivity is key, but I was hoping that with, you know, this is his 14th year, and close, almost 2,000 games. It was 1976 when he got traded. The active leader without playing the playoffs. I was hoping he'd get a shot. And then, of course, what does he do? He goes to Oakland, hits a home run in the first at bat. So,
yep.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, because he was pretty set, it seemed like. And when he talked to me one-on-one and then the group before he left that this was his last year, it'll be interesting to see if he has a good run in Oakland, if they go deep in the playoffs and he makes a contribution, if he feels like, you know what, maybe I can go one more year. And I'll tell you what, it's not because – he's going for 500. It's because he has a chance to win. 500 homers, I'm talking about. It's because he has a chance to win and a chance to enjoy baseball again.
I'm sure he's certainly got a lot of people in the White Sox organization, you know, rooting for him down the stretch, as they themselves, as you said, Merck, really have the focus on 2015 and the future is now in Chicago in a lot of ways. So I want to thank Scott Merkin for joining us. I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.